Easter. Welcome to Honda West Evangelical Church. For the congregation who are gathered with us, we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of you who are joining us over live streaming, we trust that the Lord will bless you and that we will have that sense of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The Lord has done marvelous things this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. For Christ, our Passover lamb, hath been sacrificed. Therefore let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It is true, the Lord has risen. Now we're going to play a recording of our congregation singing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Glorious Lord of life, we thank you that by the mighty resurrection of your Son, that you overcame the old order of sin and death to make for us all things new in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that we who celebrate with joy Christ's rising from the dead, that we may be raised from the death of sin to the life of righteousness. That through Christ the Son who lives and reigns with you, Heavenly Father, and the blessed Holy Spirit, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forevermore, may your name be praised for Christ the Saviour's sake. God, our Heavenly Father, who gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by that glorious resurrection, you have delivered us from the power of death. We thank you that the Holy Spirit enables us to die daily to sin and to live in the newness of life, in the joy of resurrection. Hear us, Lord, as we confess our sins. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. But Lord, we have to confess that we remain so many times captive to doubt and fear and bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the needy and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of those who are oppressed and indifferent to the call for peace. We fail to share the gospel with neighbors and friends. Lord, in mercy we pray that you will forgive us for our sins. Help us in your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant that is given to us in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn us? Only Christ is in a position to condemn us. And Christ has died for us. Christ rose from the dead for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. And anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. The new resurrection life has begun. Know then that through Christ that you are forgiven for your sins and be at peace through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's sing. Hear a recording of our second hymn, Lo, in the Grave He Lay.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Of
Turn to God to seek his help in understanding. Lord God, we do acknowledge that your word is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest sword, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. Your word does truly expose us for what we really are. So it is with a great sense of awe and humility that we bow before you and listen to what you have to say. Speak to us through your word. Convict us, cleanse us, encourage us, equip us, that we might be able to obey your will. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, and reading from verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Now let us come before our God in prayer. Eternal God, we praise you that your glory has dawned on us and that you have brought us into this day of resurrection. We rejoice that the grave could not hold your Son, our Savior, that he has conquered death, that he has risen to bring us to new life. We praise you that he summons us into new life to follow him with a sense of joy and gladness in our hearts. By your Spirit, we thank you that we can live free from doubt and despair. That by your Spirit that you set our feet on a pathway of the way of Christ to walk before you in holiness, that our lives might be signs of the life of Christ within us, and that we all might show forth the love of Christ to those who live in this dark world. As you have called us to be a kingdom of priests, we therefore earnestly come before you to intercede on behalf of the nations. We pray for peace in our world. We pray this morning for Myanmar and ask that wise counsel will prevail and that the bloodshed will stop. We pray for Iran and thank you that so many people in Iran are turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, we pray for changes in attitude, that there will be peace in that country. We pray for those who meet in house churches that they may meet in safety and freedom. We pray for Hong Kong and especially for those who are seeking to relocate to the UK that they might find homes and employment, that they might find churches that faithfully preach the gospel. We pray for nations that are experiencing an increase in the numbers that have the virus. We pray for India. We pray for Brazil and many of the countries on the continent of Europe. Lord, help them to be able to utilize the vaccine and give wisdom to governments that they will put people before politics. We pray for our own nation and ask that you will constrain the hearts of those who are in a position of authority to rule. We pray that they will rule with justice according to your word and reveal righteousness. We pray that you will withhold the success of those who seek to introduce laws that are contrary to your word. We ask you, Lord, that you will remove them from the place of authority that they have, that you will raise up a generation of Christian people who will be equipped to take office in this land and be a force for good, for holiness and righteousness. We pray for the church of this land. And Lord, we have to bow our heads and confess that we have not been the salt of the earth. We have not been able to see the withholding of wickedness and laws that are wrong, sinful practices that are so abundant. Lord, we have turned away from your gospel and we preach another message about poverty and justice. Lord, while we know that your heart is for those who suffer injustice and for those who live in poverty, yet our God, the great message of the gospel is that Christ has come to die for sins in order that our sins might be forgiven, that we might have new life in Christ. Lord, we pray that in mercy that you will come and that you will revive us as a church, that we might see life and new life in the people around us as the gospel is preached. Help us to worship and to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those in our congregation that suffer from ill health, those who are suffering because of old age. Father, we pray that you will be with them and that you will bless them. We pray for those who are recovering from surgery and ill health. We ask, Lord, that you will be near to them and help them to grow in strength day by day. We pray for those who have had to isolate themselves for many months. And we ask, Lord, that you will be with them and that soon that it will be safe for them to meet again with us here to worship you. Lord, on this Easter day, may the joy of resurrection and the hope of heaven fill our souls, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to play a recording of the congregation singing, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Safe for us to join together and sing as a congregation. It is something that is just truly missed. Now I try to imagine what the two disciples said to each other on the road to Emmaus as they reminisced about the time that they had spent with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a bit like the time after the death of a family member. And you speak with your friends together about the memories that you have of them. You talk about some funny things that happened and you have a laugh together. And then the next moment you feel the sense of loss and you cry together. Think of the two disciples after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what they might have said to each other. Something like, it was great while it lasted. What was your favorite bit? Oh, I think the day that he took bread and fish and fed 5,000 people with it. Though I still feel a bit embarrassed about upsetting him afterwards. What was your best moment? Oh, it has to be clearly that day that he stood in Bethany and Jesus cried out for Lazarus to come out of the grave. Those were great days. But I suppose now that he is gone, we better face reality and go back home to our families. Those were the best 3 years of my life that I'll never forget. But what a way to end it. With him being crucified, of all things. What the two disciples of Jesus said to each other on the road to Emmaus that first Easter morning, we will never really know. But the Holy Spirit has recorded this story for us in order to teach us a number of lessons. Supremely, that every one of us is on a journey of life. The two disciples in question are probably not part of the 12, and some think that they may have been husband and wife. They turned their backs on Jerusalem with its tragedy of the cross. And they were facing the setting sun as they walked westward towards Emmaus, about 7 miles away. In this account of their journey, we see the gentle way that God reveals to devastated hearts the triumph of the Easter message. This is more than a journey on the road to Emmaus. This is truly a journey to Easter joy. Three things to draw your attention to about this encounter with Christ. Three things that Christ does. Christ, he explains. He challenges. And then he blesses. And isn't that so often the way that it is in our own hearts? First comes the explanation, and with that a challenge. And as we surrender to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive Christ's blessing. Let's see how that functions in the life of these two disciples. These two discouraged disciples. Christ, first of all, explains. They were talking with each other, verse 14, about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. I really don't know why they didn't recognize him at this point, but that's not important. Ever since creation, people have been on a journey. And God saw how sad and slow of heart people were on that journey as a result of sin entering into the world. And so he sent his son to talk, to converse with people. For Jesus Christ is God's conversation with people. Just as Jesus drew near and went with those two disciples on that first Easter morning, so he has joined men and women ever since on the journey of life. John says in his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." In his walk with these two, the Lord Jesus noticed two things about them that are true of us. Unless we know the wonder and the joy of the Easter message. He found that their hearts were sad. And he found that their hearts were slow to understand. Are you joyful? Is there a happiness in your heart? Or are you part of the vast throng of people walking the journey of life who are sad because they have never taken up Christ's invitation to walk with them through life? Or are you sad because you're a Christian and you're walking out of step with the Lord Jesus Christ? These two disciples were sad because their faith had been truly shaken. Later in the conversation, they said to Jesus, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What a question to ask of the Lord Jesus Christ. These two disciples haven't a clue as to what had happened in these last few days in Jerusalem. Jesus knew exactly what had happened. He had died on the cross. He was buried, and now he is raised again from the dead, and in resurrection life he stands and walks alongside with them. These people had believed, as others did, that the one who had entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, riding in the foal of a donkey, would redeem Israel. They believed that he would drive out the Romans and establish the great messianic kingdom. But that had not materialized. Instead, he had been crucified, nailed upon a cross by his hands and feet. Their Messiah was gone. And their faith was gone. All over the world at this hour, there are people whose faith has been shaken. Religion has failed them. As far as they're concerned, all that they had hoped that the church would accomplish has failed. They've looked to certain Christian leaders who have not measured up to expectation, and so their faith is badly and sadly shaken. Time and again, I meet with people who tell me that they have stopped going to church because they say they're disappointed that the church didn't care. They've been disappointed by the minister, the vicar, the priest, or the people. Perhaps it's an excuse, but maybe it is genuine. Whatever, they've given up and gone away because of disappointment. These two disciples were not just sad, their hope was shattered. They had enough religious knowledge to know the meaning of 3 days. The disciples had heard this prophet. He was a prophet powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. He had said that in 3 days the temple of his body would be raised up from the dead, but 3 days had gone by and nothing had happened. Their faith was shaken. Their hope was shattered. How many times we're walking along on our journey of life and Christ is beside us and we're unaware of who's with us. These disciples had loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd loved the prophet. They'd seen him perform miracles. They had seen him touch the heads of little children. They'd watched him break bread and fish to feed the multitudes. They'd seen him raise the dead and heal the leper. But now he has gone. How could that happen? Nothing is more frustrated than stifled love. When someone you know, you cannot love him anymore. He's gone. He's buried. He's gone forever. But the Lord Jesus Christ communed with them. And today Jesus himself draws near, sent by his Father in heaven, to join us all on life's journey to discuss that shaken faith, to discuss that hope that has been shattered, the love that has been stifled, to encourage us. But what he found was slow hearts. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Isn't that our problem? We're slow to believe. God has said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." But I feel left. I feel forsaken. I'm so slow to believe what God has said. The reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world was to expose the reason for the sadness and for the slowness of heart, to expose the reason why we cannot penetrate the deep things of God. By the whole of Scripture that seems so incomprehensible to us, why at times we feel that prayer is a farce, that it's not real, why the church seems to be a puzzle, why God seems so unreal and far away. Christ came to help us understand. Remember that you are a religious being, and you carry the likeness of God in your personality, in your being, even though you have been cursed by sin. This couple did not truly understand what had transpired on the cross of Calvary. They did not understand the significance and the central importance of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not understand that the stone rolled away from the tomb, that it unveiled one of the greatest miracles that the world has ever seen. Jesus Christ never meets anyone along life's journey without starting a conversation. He has to speak. God has to speak to us through His Word to expose the slowness and the unbelief of hearts. He has also come to renew us in resurrection life. I can't really criticize these two dear disciples because of their slowness of heart, because we're all slow of heart, slow to have joy when we should be joyful, slow to be mournful when we should mourn. But here's Christ's challenge that He brought to these two disciples. He said, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself. Going back into the Old Testament, Mark goes back into the Old Testament from the books of Moses and then the prophets. Out of all the scriptures, He explains how those scriptures speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. How they are like signposts pointing forward to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ comes, He fulfills all those things. Beginning at Moses, He showed them that He was the fulfillment of God's law. Not the replacement of God's law, but the fulfillment of God's law. He showed that He was the fulfillment of God's messianic hope. He showed that He was the fulfillment of God's love and faithful promises, the promises that He had made through the covenant that He had revealed. He was the fulfillment of all the scriptures. Impact. What a challenge. What a confrontation. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? Now remember, these are the guys that said to their stranger beside them, are you the only one here that hasn't a clue what's going on? No, I'm the only one here that has a clue, that really, truly understands, and I'm just about to explain it to you. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things? This is not some surprise thing that happened in Jerusalem, but this is the fulfillment of what the Old Testament has spoken about. Addressing the very event of which they were speaking, He showed that He was the historic fulfillment of what He said would happen. Prophecy had now become history. Their problem was not that Jesus had died. Their problem was their failure to accept what the Bible had spoken. The prophets had spoken plainly enough, but their minds had not been quick enough to grasp what that meant. The word all that the prophets had spoken is important. They had no doubt seized on the prediction of the glory of the Messiah, but it was quite another thing to take to heart the prophecies that pointed to the darker side of the Messiah's mission. The passion was not simply a possibility that might or might not become actual, depending on circumstances. The cross was a necessity. Written in the prophets as it was, it had to happen. And then they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? That is one Bible study I would have loved to have been at. To have the Lord Jesus Christ unfold the scriptures, even as he talked with them, we read that their hearts began to burn within them. To burn with hope, to burn again with a sense of purpose. If you're prepared to recognize the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ on life's journey, you will discover that explanation of the scriptures will lead to challenge, because no one can encounter the Lord Jesus Christ and remain the same. He alone can change the sadness of heart into the gladness of heart and into the joy of resurrection. That confrontation with the living Lord made them do something. Having reached Emmaus, he indicated that he would go on, but they constrained him to stay with them because it was evening. It says that they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And Christ blesses them. When he was at table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. The most wonderful thing about any journey is that it reaches its destination and outcome. And notice the outcome for these two individuals. It meant blessing by the Lord Jesus Christ. He satisfied their hearts. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us? Christ had made a difference. He had stirred up something in their hearts. The Lord Jesus always starts at the center, then moves out to the circumference. What is the point in the outward circumstances of our lives being touched and dealt with if in our hearts we are still at a distance from God? He caused them to enjoy fellowship. When he was at table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. This table became a sanctuary where they enjoyed fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As they watched the Lord Jesus Christ break bread, it says that then their eyes were open, and in communion with Christ they understood more clearly what Christ had done for them. I remember in this very building having a Bible study with our Iranian friends, and we were talking about heaven. And one of those that were there said, when I said to them, when you die, you're going to go to heaven. And while this person was genuinely converted, they hadn't realized that that meant that they were going to go to heaven. Now, because we've been brought up in a Christian home or Christian background, we see that as just an obvious thing. But it wasn't obvious. But once it was pointed out, I would have loved to have had a photograph of the joy that was so expressed in his face when he realized what it meant, that he is going to be in heaven. What a sense of joy there must have been when their eyes were open and they could see, this is Jesus who is breaking bread with us. That galvanized them into action. It says they got up. So these are the people who said, you know, the day is almost over. Stay with us. Now the day has just changed for them. It's not always going to be too late. They're up and they're out of that house. It says they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. Jesus is risen from the dead. We've got to go back to Jerusalem and proclaim the message. We have seen him. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. As a result of their time with Christ, that very same night they set out towards Jerusalem to share the good news with others. It was not only the news of a living presence in Jesus Christ that they had received, but they had also received a living peace while they were still talking about this. Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." In verse 49, we note a living power, for the Savior said, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This blessing from Christ brought the joy of Easter. All that disappointment that they'd had in their hearts throughout that day, as they wandered away from Jerusalem, as they went back towards their own homes, as they thought about the 3 years that they had spent with the Lord Jesus Christ, as they thought about their expectations that were disappointed, all that disappointment is gone. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I know this is Easter Sunday, and in a way we can't help feel that that is special. But every first day of the week is Easter Sunday. It is the day of resurrection. It's the day that we come together to rejoice that we have new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we come and we confess our sins. It makes us sad that we have failed the Lord Jesus Christ again. But we come with a sense that Christ has given us new life. The old creation has gone and the new has come. We are new men and women in the Lord Jesus Christ. This blessing from Christ brought the joy of Easter. And that's what that journey was. It was a journey to Easter joy. And that's what our journey is like. A journey to Easter joy. A journey to the joy that comes because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have the living power of Jesus Christ, you have everything that you need. God has given us everything that we need to live the godly life. How far along the journey into the joy of Easter are you? God has spoken into time in Jesus Christ to expose the sadness and the slowness of our hearts. God has come in Christ. He joins us along life's journey to tell us again today, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And you are risen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you receive the joy of Easter, or will you remain in unbelief? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of Easter, the joy of resurrection, that we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. Lord our God, help us to know that sense of joy and to be able to express it, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to play a recording of the congregational singing, "Thine Be the Glory."
as one. Angels in bright raiment, gold and stone away. Together folded grave clothes, when thy body lay, thine be the glory, risen conquering sun. Endless is the victory, thou our death hast won. Lord Jesus, lead us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing. For her Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting. Thine be the glory, risen conquering sun. Endless is the victory, thou our death hast won. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is not without thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine be the glory,
faith, receive the benediction from the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.